Let's see. let me give them my notes. I got several notes.
Well, actually, we're going to be talking about the gifts of the Spirit. We talked about, trying to backtrack a little bit briefly. We talked about the giver of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So we spent a lot of time on the Holy Spirit. It's the giver of the Spirit, and the purpose of the gifts is to edify the church at large. Mm-hmm. Then we talked about the two most common gifts that are misunderstood, lack of a better word. One was prophecy. And so we had a good discussion about prophecy, what that meant.
Sorry, I missed it. Yeah. How can I hear it? It wasn't me. Okay. That was not a rhetorical question.
I was hoping you would just keep talking.
Oh, that was on you? I see.
But you know, we could always have a discussion after service one day, after church one day, because I think that the gifts of the spirits is really, really misunderstood and underused in general. You know, so that, I mean...
Well, somebody called me a prophet the other day, and I'm like, well, I don't even know really what that is, so... If you want to be calling me stuff, you better explain to me what I am.
You better tell me what I said. gifts are, for the most part, misunderstood. You know, misunderstood by the church at large. You know, so... And so we could have that conversation anytime, you know, about the prophecy.
Okay. So. Let's schedule coffee, Dan.
it's not just Dan. I mean, because this is why I said
everybody else was probably here.
I'm presenting because everybody had a piece in it, and everybody brought something to the table.
Gotcha.
You know, so because everybody have different experiences and different understanding of the scripture. You know, so that's one thing I like about Bible study is that it's not just one person saying it all, but it's everybody contributing based on what Scripture says. We were talking about speaking in tongues, I think, the last week, or tongues. Last week we came up with some subtopics in terms of speaking in tongues. And one of them was... I think Marcel brought up the issue. Should have brought my computer button in. Well, was tongues versus salvation. Because there's some denominations, some people think that in order to be saved, you have to speak in tongue, or they're one of the two, they're one of the same. You know, and again, that's something that's really misunderstood. So that's where we are now. And that's really a very brief kind of overview of how we got to here. So,
okay.
And what I did, I kind of broke that topic down into three different subtopics. One of them is speaking in tongues, evidence of the Holy Spirit. The second was... The apostolic doctrine, because they're the ones that really put emphasis on speaking in tongues and being evidence of the Holy Spirit. So I kind of looked in terms of where they get some of their doctrinal beliefs. And the next one was
the evidence of the Spirit or the evidence of salvation.
No, the evidence of the Spirit, because theirs kind of intertwined, because they say that evidence of salvation is speaking in tongues, you know. So how would you know if you're saved unless you, you know, speaking in tongues? So that's what I kind of said. And then the next one is obvious: what must a person do to be saved? Because I think that is the overall issue or question in terms of what must a person do to be saved. And what does the scripture say? So, and of course, we're not going to finish it all today, but you know that would be a good start. So,
but I think what, as we were speaking last week about you know, salvation being or evidence of the speaking of tongue. Salvation being speaking in tongue being evidence of being saved,
mm-hmm.
But you know, as I was kind of thinking about that, actually, is it that what you know some of the denominations say that if you, I mean, in order to be saved, you have to speak in tongues, or is it in order to have? So it's evidence in order to. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, you have to speak in tongues. Evidence is speaking in tongues. Is that what it is, or is
it
salvation?
Yeah, I think you're saying several things, I think, that we could take each one of those and look at it and kind of being filled with the Holy Spirit versus being saved with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I think, because
okay, so,
I think there's different,
okay.
different.
So that is a question. I guess that some or belief that some denominations have that evidence of being saved is speaking in tongues.
So here's one answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are three occasions in the book of Acts where speaking in tongues accompanied the receiving of the Holy Spirit. However, these three occasions are the only places in the Bible where speaking in tongues is an evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit. Throughout the book of Acts, thousands of people believe in Jesus and nothing is said about them speaking in tongues. Nowhere in the New Testament is it taught that speaking in tongues is the only evidence a person has received the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the New Testament teaches the opposite. We are told that every believer in Christ has the Holy Spirit. That's Romans 8, 9, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, Ephesians 1, 13, and 14. But not every believer speaks in tongues. 1 Corinthians 12, 29, 31. So why was speaking in tongues the evidence of the Holy Spirit in those three passages in Acts? Acts 2 records the apostles being baptized. And I'm reading this off of Got Questions. They're usually pretty good answers.
Mm-hmm.
The apostles were enabled to speak in other languages, tongues, so they could share the truth with people in their own languages. Acts 10 records the apostle Peter being sent to share the gospel with non-Jewish people. Peter and the other early Christians, being Jews, would have a hard time accepting Gentiles, non-Jewish people, into the church. God enabled the Gentiles to speak in tongues to demonstrate that they had received the same Holy Spirit the apostles had received. Acts 10:44 describes this. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." Peter later refers back to this occasion as proof that God was indeed saving the Gentiles. Speaking in tongues is nowhere presented as something all Christians should expect when they receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and are therefore baptized in the Holy Spirit. In fact, out of all the conversion accounts in the New Testament, only two record speaking in tongues in that context.
Mm-hmm.
Tongues was a miraculous gift that had a specific purpose for a specific time. It was not and never has been the only evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So now, this kind of alludes to the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues as a gift that's going away. Did y'all hear that?
I did hear that.
Wait.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, some people believe that speaking in tongues came with a dispensation. So that was to institute a new dispensation in the faith. And that once that happened, then that's the end of it. I am not one of the people that believe that.
Because it's a gift.
It's a gift.
Well, because there's other passages that would say otherwise.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't agree with that.
And I guess I think the argument for that was that because in the early church, when they were new believers, they were speaking tongues, somebody would interpret it. That was evidence that the Spirit. And so today, we don't necessarily have that kind of audience like they did in the early church, where speaking in tongues, or that was necessary to be evidence that you have the Holy Spirit. For instance, like if we're in a congregation, this is our congregation, if speaking in tongues was the evidence that the Holy Spirit, that God was working with the church, more or less, then we wouldn't necessarily have to have that unless there was somebody from another new believer that's coming in, because that was evidence that the Holy Spirit was present when they're able to speak and hear in their own language of somebody speaking in tongues, somebody interprets, if I'm saying that right. For instance, like,
right, so it was just for non or unbelievers coming in who, you know, by the evidence or by a tongue being spoken in their language?
Well, when you say it was just for, that's where the debate will come in, because there's nothing that specifies that it was only for that.
Okay,
that
right.
happened, right. But there's nothing that says that's the only reason why it happened.
Right, just my bad.
No.
Those who think it's dispensational.
Yeah.
We don't have that, so therefore it's not necessary today. You know what I'm saying?
I understand that point, but that's not what scripture
says.
So.
And so you have Paul who admonishes the church by saying, when you speak in tongues, you basically are out of order if there's no one there to interpret those tongues.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be an understanding that speaking in tongues could happen in a place where everybody's speaking the same language and there's no one there. That it's actually speaking to a person's language. So, and how could you determine if you're speaking in tongues that it's specifically somebody in this room that I'm speaking in language? The Holy Spirit would know that.
Holy Spirit would know that, right?
Right. So, Paul says that when we speak in tongues, it's got a very specific purpose. So,
yeah, and I think also speaking in tongues in the Bible, it has different uses, I would say, because that's one. In Corinthians 13:1, it talks about speaking in tongues of men of angels. Or also in Corinthians, I think it talks about if a man speaketh, he speaketh to God. I mean, there are different settings in terms of where speaking in tongue is kind of being used.
At this, I guess in the church today, as far as tongues being used, there is known and unknown. Well, I mean, that's the only two, known and unknown.
But if you go back to looking at the scripture in terms of the Greek, it was not an unknown, because that was added. So if you look at the Greek, it says, in tongues, not in unknown tongues. Because I know sometimes we separate tongues and unknown tongues. But when you can look at the Greek scripture, that's the unknown word is not there.
So it's all the same thing.
So then,
if I'm not mistaken, I mean,
what is it referring to? I can't find anything right now, but what is it referring to then when it says that when we, it talks about going, you know, speaking to God. If we, you know, if we're going to speak in tongue, let it be unto God. Now, Let me see if I can.
You're talking about in the book of Romans where he says.
No, I wasn't.
It's not Romans.
Okay. It's.
Okay, let's see. Oh, maybe.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, "For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but unto God.
Yes.
For no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries."
Okay, that was 1 Corinthians 14,
starting at verse 2.
Right. Hmm. So then that would be the unknown tongue. So if we wanted, because when we speak in tongue, it would be an unknown language to us.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So because, you know, we're so it says, if we're going to be in a, you know, in church, congregation, or in the midst of people, if we should speak in tongues, there should be an interpreter.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because it would be an unknown tongue. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if there's no one there to interpret, then we should be silent.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
He says, "What does it profit you if I come to you speaking in an unknown tongue?" If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is
right.
Unfruitful.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then he says, "What is it then? I will pray with my spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when you shall bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen?"
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just speak in tongues,
right.
And everybody say amen, or you just say
right.
Amen.
So, right.
Is I giving the thanks, seeing he doesn't understand what you're saying? But verse, I think it's 23.
You're in 1 Corinthians 14,
mm-hmm.
23. But therefore the whole church.
Oh, it's 27. He says, "If any man does speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two,
mm-hmm.
or at the most by three, and that by course, or let it be in order. Don't let them all be babbling over each other." You know, it's
mm-hmm.
obvious.
Mm-hmm.
My pastor used to always say that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not that it's a gender, but you know what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? Like, he does not
mm-hmm.
roll like that. So
right.
Y'all chill out.
Right. And God is a God of order.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "Let it be by two or at three, let it be in order, and let one interpret."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Verse 13, he says, "Wherefore let him," this is 1 Corinthians 14:13, "wherefore let him that speaks in an unknown tongue pray that he interprets."
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, I've talked to people who have spoken in tongues, ask them what they said, and they have no idea.
Right.
What did you
right.
Do?
Because.
Yeah.
I don't have the gift of interpretation. I only have the gift of speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I mean, and that makes sense to me. Because according, so I'm looking at 1 Corinthians 12. They're different gifts.
Mm-hmm.
The gift of speaking in tongues and the gift of interpreting tongues
mm-hmm.
are different gifts.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay, so I pulled up 1 Corinthians 12:28 and 12:10, where it makes reference to different kinds of tongues. So it's, and then 12:28, varieties of tongues. So I don't understand that.
Well, you know,
I mean, if it if it were about language and expressing the gospel to people of other other languages, then that would make sense to me.
That would be a different kind of tongue.
That would be a different, yeah, a variety of tongues or different kinds of tongues, because you would have people of different language groups there.
Actually, go back to when tongues first introduced in the Day of Pentecost.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
That's what that was.
But is that what he's talking about?
When he talks about different kinds of tongues?
Yeah, in chapter 12. Is that what he's talking about?
Because in some places, if you interpret tongues, it also interprets language.
That's what you're doing.
Because it is
the
language.
Right. Yeah. But there's, right, that's why I'm trying to make the distinction. There's languages of men.
Right.
And there's languages of probably angels. And I would say that's the language of men, or the language of men, because there's different languages. And we know there are different languages, you know. Again, that's why I refer to the Pentecost.
So are there are there multiple unknown languages? I guess that's really what my question is.
Mm-hmm. But here in... this is the commentary. So this is 1 Corinthians, 12.
In 12, okay.
Oh, actually, this is 13:1, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 13:1, it says tongues of men and angels, which is, you know, it's just referring back to that statement in that verse. It says such was the association of tongues speaking in pagan worship at Corinth. When a priest or devotee spoke in tongues, it was considered that he spoke in the language of gods, little g, of course. So, but diversity's here.
Well, I had never heard that, but I heard that.
Say it again.
Yeah, right?
Pat, can you say it again?
So it says, such was the association of tongues speaking in pagan worship at Corinth. When a priest or devotee spoke in tongues, it was considered that he spoke in the language of the gods.
With a little
g. Little g.
Mm-hmm.
Whose commentary was that?
This is...
And I think to just add some backdrop
to the King James Study Bible.
I think one of the points you made a couple of Bible studies ago, Dan, maybe you did, maybe you didn't. But when you talk about underutilized gifts, so the reason that this study is important,
the annotated study Bible,
is to be able to understand that first of all, it's a lot of controversy around speaking in tongues. Mm-hmm. And the controversy has led to some people possibly having the gift, but they can't receive it because they just really want to love God.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to serve God, and they don't want to get caught up in no mess. So, you know what? I don't understand that, so I'm not messing with it.
Right.
And so the reason you need to study this out is because it's not to say that, well, if you study this out, you'll discover that you too have tongues. It's not to say that, but it is to say that you need to open yourself up to the Word of God to learn, so that if you do, you can sense it and you can be blessed by that. Because one of the verses we read is a person that prays in tongues, they edify themselves.
Right.
And so even to go to your three kinds of tongues, one is praying, one is singing, and one is praising.
Mm-hmm.
I just found this on the internet. That's the three kinds of tongues. Mm-hmm. Singing, praising, praying.
So are you saying that you can be given the gift of speaking tongues by God, but you also have to receive the gift?
Yep. Well, I like to share my testimony on praying in tongues. As a boy, a young boy in a Baptist church, where, if y'all know about, a lot of Baptist churches, a traditional Baptist church, you don't come in here with no tongues.
Right.
So I never heard about tongues. Never heard about that. But I believed in Jesus Christ. I heard the gospel message in that Baptist church. I was baptized in that Baptist church. I was filled with the Holy Spirit in that Baptist church. And one day, after being taught that church is not just on Sunday, I was singing praises and stuff like that, and tongues came out while I was singing and praising the Lord. And I never knew what it was until like 8 years later. I was in a church and they were speaking in tongues, and I had always wondered what that was. I had no idea what it was until I went to that church and I was like, that's what that was. So all of this time, that was a gift that I had, but nobody taught me. Now, when you say nobody taught me, I think there's a difference between teaching somebody and trying to force somebody to speak in tongues. Because that's a lot of that goes on. Oh, you got it. You got it. You can do it. I know you can do it. Come on, just start uttering anything. And I don't think that that's right either. So I want to be clear when I say nobody taught me about that gift. If that makes sense.
Gifts have to be developed and used. Nobody taught you how to use the gift, how to develop the gift.
Yeah.
What to do with it.
Yeah. Right. Right. So I went to that church and they taught me. So...
You went to that church and they taught you?
Yeah, I ended up going back to that. Well, and they didn't actually teach me their whole new member thing. It was part of that. And they were clear, like, you might have it, you might not.
Okay.
If you believe you do, come up to the front. We're going to pray for you and let God manifest.
Right. Let God manifest it.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's the way we were taught. Like, you might have it, you might not. But if you believe you do, get up and come up front. Some people did, some people didn't. Some people didn't believe.
Yeah, because my experience was with a church that we were with, and they actually had a class to teach you how to speak in tongues, which...
That's a little different.
Yeah. And... it just didn't settle with my spirit because at the end, the very last day, what they did was, you know, had everyone sit at a table, and I can't remember, like, if there was, oh, they were probably just reading scripture, you know, the day of Pentecost and everything. And so then they said, you know, just stand up and start speaking. And so those who already spoke in tongues began to speak. And so basically what I was doing was mimicking what I was hearing. You know, so to me, that wasn't me asking God for the gift of speaking in tongues and Him, you know, developing that in me. So
yeah.
That didn't settle with me.
Yeah, so you got a culture out there saying that if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Spirit, and that the evidence of your salvation is speaking in tongues.
So, and that was a question I had last week as far as salvation. That's why I was asking that earlier, because it doesn't say anything about salvation as being, you know, part of the process, I guess, of being able to speak in tongues or speaking in tongues.
It's not there.
Yeah, but I think last time we talked about the scriptures that are in Acts. It's an association between what happened and speaking in tongues. Like Acts 2:4, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, began speaking in tongues. I mean, there's an association to it. It's not to say that...
An association.
A connection between salvation and speaking in tongues in Acts. And so that's why a lot of people, denominations who... focus on that. Use Acts as a reference. Just saying, if you're baptized with the Holy Spirit or if you're saved, you should speak in tongues because of what happened in Acts, more or less. Yeah.
And so the problem.
And also Mark. I think Mark 16:17.
The problem with that is the same man who says that. We need to be careful about that. He says, for by one, this is 1 Corinthians 12:13. He says, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same spirit, but manifest in different gifts,
yes,
different forms. And you know, on one hand, it's don't neglect the possibility that you could have a gift, not just of speaking in tongues, but of healing or prophecy, mm-hmm. or whatever. But at the same time, don't let nobody force you into acting like you got something when your heart is really telling you that you don't. And don't be ashamed if you don't. You still got the spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like people are being drawn to manifestations of the spirit rather than just resolutely giving their lives to the one who gives the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how it's going to manifest anyway.
Start going
after the manifestation and start going after the one that the man instead of the manifestation.
Yeah, because he lays out the gifts and then he says, but do all have this or this or this or this or this? Because
mm-hmm.
I'll show you a more excellent way.
Mm-hmm.
From there, he goes into more important than all of that mm-hmm. is this.
Yeah. And again, I don't think we're talking about, we're having the same type of conversations that they had in Corinthians. Because they were doing the exact same thing. So it's no different. They were having issues with speaking in tongues.
Yep.
Where they were putting those who speak in tongues above everybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, and boasting about it. You know, I speak in tongues better than you. Mm-hmm. You know, so Paul had to come back and say, wait a minute, you know, kind of mm-hmm. bring them back at this, you know, at a lower level, or explain what speaking in tongues in relationship to the Holy Spirit really meant.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Paul said, I speak in tongues more than all of y'all.
I have something to say. I know this, it may be like apples and oranges, but this is just how I am interpreting this and learning it. It seems weird that you can speak something and not be able to understand what you're speaking. Like, logically, that does not make any sense.
It really doesn't.
Okay, I just want to make sure that, like, if you're learning, if your first language is English, you are learn how to speak and also interpret what you're actually saying so that the person that you're speaking to can understand what you're saying. So that there can be a conversation. Not to say that when you're speaking in tongues, there has to be a conversation. If Spanish is your second language and you're learning Spanish and you are being taught Spanish and you are developing the language of Spanish, you are also taught what the words that you are saying mean. So that when you are saying them, you make sense to whomever you're talking to. So, in the Bible, it's saying that, as Joni was saying, and I was reading the verse, reading the scripture, that it could be two gifts. You don't have to have both. You can have the gift of speaking, or you can have the gift of interpreting.
Or both.
Right. Or both.
I mean, he actually challenges us. He says, let him who speaks in tongues pray that he interprets.
Yes. And I was told that when speaking in tongues happens, there needs to be an interpreter around.
Right. So he says, verse 1 Corinthians 14:23. Mm-hmm. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, so this is Sunday morning service,
mm-hmm.
he says, and all speak with tongues, like sometimes on Sunday morning service, pray in tongues, just tell the whole congregation to start praying in tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned
mm-hmm.
or unbelievers, will they not say that y'all crazy?
Right.
He said, but if all prophesy and there come in one that believe, that doesn't believe or is unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus the secrets of their heart are made manifest, and so falling on the ground on his face will worship God and report that God is in you. And that is true. So he says, so when you come together, every one of you have a psalm or has a doctrine or has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. So what that means is sometimes just for the sheer effect of the miracle of speaking in tongues, people can get hyped up about that.
Yes, emotion.
But then at the end of the day, the body is not edified by that. You got a good feeling from it. Mm-hmm. He says, no, make sure that whatever you do, make sure that what you do, your intention, is for the edifying of the body. So okay. Speaking in tongues doesn't necessarily edify the body. He says speaking in tongues edifies you.
But that's in a corporate context.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So but, if I'm praying alone.
Right, that's a different context. That's
that edifies me.
Yeah.
Right.
But I just wanted to say in relation to what you were saying that's the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
When someone can speak not knowing what they're saying,
mm-hmm.
but someone else
can
hear it and know exactly what you're saying, they can interpret that.
Mm-hmm.
So that everyone else can understand.
Yeah.
So that's just the power of God.
So I'm breaking this down almost into a science. Like, I don't know the background on speaking tongues, but from what I'm getting from the scriptures and the conversation, it's a gift. Okay, so that's the power of God, you receiving something, being able to speak something, and then someone else being able to understand what you're saying. If you're by yourself, let's just say, like you were saying, and you start speaking in tongues, or praying in tongues, who is there to interpret?
Sometimes you. You know exactly what you're saying. So this has only happened once in my life, and I'm gonna tell y'all straight up, I clammed up, I chickened out, so I didn't move on it. There was a man that I worked with. He was from Pakistan, born and bred Muslim, the type of Muslim that said, Aaron, these guys that call themselves Muslims over here, they would be killed if they came to my country. So I was praying for him all the time. I spent time with his family. And so in the midst of praying for him, I would pray in the spirit. And over time, the language shifted. And at first it was weird to me. The language changed. And so one day we were in the break room. Chad got a phone call from his wife. So he gets on the phone and he starts talking in their language, mm-hmm. from Pakistan. As soon as he started talking, I was like, that's the language.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, this is where I clammed up. I wanted to pray, but it was like, what if it don't come out? What if it don't come out? And I just sound like a fool, you know what I'm saying? So I didn't do it. And to this day, I always think about, like,
yeah.
And that, too, also, that, you know, that gives glory to God.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
God gets the glory in that, you know, because then you know it's Him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's nothing, you know, of ourselves.
That's exactly what I was going
to
say.
So, Brother Aaron, back to what you were saying. You were saying that it edifies the body, but not edify you. It edifies you, but not the body. What do you mean by that?
Well, he says, 1 Corinthians 14:28, he says, but if there be no interpreter,
mm-hmm.
let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God.
Mm-hmm.
So that's because he says that, so tongues, when he says, let all things be done unto edifying, he says, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three, that by course. Then he says, but if there is no interpreter, be quiet. Mm. Pray to God on your own.
Well, how so would you know that if you didn't speak out? If you didn't speak tongues aloud, how would you know whether there was?
Right. So in our, like, and I can't say, I'm not saying that this is the way it's supposed to be. My first introduction to all of this outside of my personal experience was in the church that I was kind of nurtured in. So when I went there, there were known interpreters. So if just somebody,
like,
yeah.
Just like you're a discerner.
Right.
You know you're the discerner.
Yep. So that was all discovered through the whole gift thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So as a body, a community, mm-hmm. and fellowship, you know each other's gifts.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So if Sister So-and-so ain't there, then keep quiet.
Right.
Okay. Got it.
And so we had known interpreters. So there would be a moment in our services where somebody would speak in tongues. Like, literally, it would usually be after worship, or sometimes it'd be at odd times, and someone would stand up,
mm-hmm.
and they would speak in tongues, mm-hmm. and we would all wait, and then someone mm-hmm. would stand up and say, "This is what the Lord is saying."
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's the way I experienced. That was my first experience. Mm-hmm.
Right.
It was always in order. And
could you imagine how powerful that is, you know, in a congregation when somebody's able to have all the gifts,
yeah,
in the denomination, in the church, in the body,
yeah,
and that's yeah.
Yep. So it never came from like only the pastor,
right.
or one of
right.
the pastors.
Yeah.
Most of the time, it was somebody in the right. congregation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, what kind of thing? Like, how would that be helpful in a corporate worship setting? You know, for somebody to stand up and say something, mm-hmm. for it to be interpreted. Like, what kind of messages would be said and shared and. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. So
I'm gonna say my experience has been the person who interpret, whatever they interpret, would be something that was relative to the Bible. It wasn't anything that was outside of anything but the Bible. Something spiritual. Something that was to connect with the Word of God. So that's been my experience somebody interpreting.
Yeah. And I mean, sometimes in some of my experiences, it was that. And in some of my experiences, it was like piercingly speaking, like sometimes directly to some people in the congregation, but sometimes it was to the whole congregation.
Yeah.
Like, this is what y'all need to hear.
Yeah.
And it would never be like really long or anything like that, but it would be very specific and very clear. Like, y'all have been here. This is what you've been waiting on. This is what the hang up is, and here's what we need to do.
And I believe that from the hearer, their spirit will know what they're saying.
Yes.
What they're hearing is accurate.
Yep.
Well,
not if they don't have the interpretation themselves.
No, I'm talking about when the person is interpreting, whatever that person is saying, whether it be something scriptural or something that the hearer, like the congregation, would know in their spirit.
Yeah.
If
there's discernment
like involved. I'm gonna tell y'all a funny story. I never forget one time.
Yep.
Somebody got up and spoke in tongues to the congregation. And they sat down and we sat and we sat and we like, and then we happened to look over and this woman was literally sweating. Because
she was the interpreter.
She didn't want to stand up.
Wow.
She finally got up, and it was just like, wow, that was really hard for you. She's like, I never done that.
So, oh,
but
wow.
She knew the Lord was using her that day.
Okay. Oh, that is kind of intimidating a little bit. Like that right now?
Out of the churches that I've gone to, and one very recently, where there was speaking of tongues, there's never been any interpretation.
Mm.
And I mean, the one that I went to a few weeks ago, it was just throughout the whole service, you know, especially during Well, even the sermon. And then the pastor himself, you know. Mm. But there was no interpretation.
In my experience, and this is when I was younger, but it seemed like, you know how you see people who catch the Holy Ghost? Mm-hmm. It was like something that they caught. It was like during praise and worship, there was no order. There was no, okay, all right, stand up and speak in tongues type deal, or you come up and say what you have to say, and you're speaking in tongues, and then there's a time for an interpreter. It was always, you know, people in the congregation, and it was like it was something that
they were struck with,
you know, like, and then that was it. And me being a child, I'm like, what is that, you know? Mm-hmm. But even as an adult, I was exposed to it. It was earlier this year by a member, and I was just like, okay, I have to really do some research on the speaking in tongues thing, because I don't have any type of background or knowledge about what that is. So.
And hopefully the purpose of this study that we've been doing about the gifts of spirit was that eventually we'll have a survey or a gift assessment, you know, because they're in the church, they're in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And just not prophecy or gift, speaking in tongues or discernment, healing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's throughout, everybody has a gift, mm-hmm. you know. And it's because of stuff that's happened in our past, we kind of, shy away from it. But we just don't know, we've never been taught, you know, so.
Yeah, like, I mean, well, you just never know. I could be an interpreter, but I don't, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know that because I'm not in that, you know, environment.
Mm-hmm.
But in the, I guess what I was also wanting to ask and understand is the Bible is saying that there are varieties of tongues.
That's what I was asking.
Yeah. So an interpreter would have to either be blessed with the different varieties to interpret those. I don't know. I guess I don't know how to even like break it down into a science to where you understand it.
But I think that all comes from God. I mean, if you, and then I guess one of my questions is that, so the scripture says that these are gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And it, so we can have that if we pray and ask, you know, God to give us,
mm-hmm.
you know, this gift. So then also I'm hearing that, you know, we have these gifts. So do we have them without asking for them? Or do we ask for them and then he gives them to us? Because I know we can have multiple, but
well,
it's...
Well, I think the church has them anyway. I think the church has the gifts. Because it was, you know, and again, let me back up a little bit. But we also need to take, because that's why the first time we talk about tongues, we spend more time on talking about the administration of tongues, the Holy Spirit, than anything else. Because it's the Holy Spirit that kind of gives you what you need. You know, so, but the gifts are in the body of Christ.
So what you need, the Holy Spirit gives you what you need.
The Holy Spirit's the one that gives the person what their gift is. He's the administrator.
So you're saying then we each have a particular or particular gifts that, I don't know, that God may have preordained us with, maybe? Or, that's my question, or do we just pray and ask for the gift, you know, that we want? So do we have to pray and ask for the gifts, or are we already given gifts?
Okay, so let me put a scripture on this. So this is 1 Corinthians 12. This is he's going through all of the different gifts spiritual that people gifts. Have. Mm-hmm. So if you go starting at verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So if we just stop right there and think about the gift of the Spirit, whether it's speaking in tongues or whatever it is, it's for our benefit and it's for the benefit of the body. So if you think about speaking in tongues and you shy away from that, that's a gift that edifies you. How much better would you be if you walked in that gift? Mm-hmm. For one is given the Spirit by the Spirit, the word of wisdom, another word of knowledge by the same Spirit, another faith, another gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, but all of these work the one and self work by the same work the same and self same Spirit, dividing every man severally as he will.
So as we will.
No,
he will.
So that is to say that the gift that you have, let's just say you have the gift of interpretation.
Divided two.
But you on a train and a lady is having a severe breakdown or a headache or something like that, and God really wants to reach her. Mm-hmm. But you're the only one there that has his Spirit. He can use you to heal her right mm-hmm. there, because that's his will. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't, you know, it's not to say that, oh, well, yeah, I got the gift of speaking in tongues. I don't have any of those other gifts. We have to be open.
Mm-hmm. So if he, okay, so, in that situation, does that mean you have the gift of healing? Or does that mean he used you to heal?
He used you to heal, right.
So that's not the same thing.
Right.
So I go back to her original question. So does God, those who have a gift that they express consistently, mm-hmm. let's say that, is it a gift that God determined in advance, you're going to get this gift, Aaron, and this is yours? Mm-hmm. Or is it appropriate for a believer to ask for a gift?
That, you know, that's a good question. It's
is
a
that
tough question.
Kind of go back
yeah,
to
that's
that.
A, yeah, that's yeah. right, right. Thanks for reeling us back in. That's a tough question to ask. I do think it's appropriate to ask God, what is my gift? Instead of saying specifically, well, Lord, I want the gift of the word of wisdom. Can you give me that? I mean, the only thing he tells us, the only gift he tells us, and he doesn't say ask for the gift. He says pray that you can interpret. Mm-hmm. He doesn't say pray that you can be an interpreter. I have the gift of interpretation. So, yeah, that's a good
see, my my, my first thought would be that each one of us has a gift.
Right.
Right.
Just like we have a different personality.
Right.
And I'm looking specifically when I look at discernment. Because I've been reading some books that deal with discernment, and there are children who have the gift of discernment, and they're born with it, but it's being corrupted by demons. But anyway, I'm not going to get it. But anyway, so they would, because I would say, do you have a gift? You know, and I don't think there's no one way with God. And I think if he sees you in a situation where you don't have that particular gift, he may say, okay, you could, but I believe in your spirit you would know.
Yeah.
You know.
That you could be used. But I still, even just staying specifically focused on that question, I think that, first of all, it's very unclear as far as the Church of Corinth, how they arrived at knowing they had the gift. Mm-hmm. So we don't have any kind of information on that within the scripture. There could be a book or something out there that says, hey, we got a document. I'm not aware of any such book. But what we do know is they had the gifts, and I do know that it would be appropriate to ask God, well, God, what gift did you give me? And I think that he would show us that. So I think that when we do things like gift assessments and things like that, even when we do gift assessments, we're saying, hey, this is just a guide. You know, this piece of paper or this computer thing is just a guide. We're trusting God to reveal your gift to you.
Okay, so let me ask it another way. Is it wrong to seek after a particular gift? Let me ask it that way.
Wrong?
Is it appropriate? I think that's what, like, the basis of what Ms. Pat is kind of asking, too. Like, that's the underline. She's asking, you know, like, and you kind of answered it when you said that the Church of Corinth, like, we don't have any background on how the speaking of tongue and the gifts came to pass. But it just, she's asking, like, okay, do we have these, are we born with these gifts? Or in order to receive this gift, do we have to ask God for this gift?
Right, so she's saying, do you ask specifically for gifts? So my answer to that directly would be like, if we look at the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. the one that gives the gifts, mm-hmm. and we say, well, the Holy Spirit is paraclete, another word would be a coach. Okay, so I go to the coach, and for whatever reason, I just feel like, hey, Coach Tom, I feel like I'm the quarterback. I want to be the quarterback. And he's like, no, you don't have an arm. You can't throw. You can't see over the line. You don't make quick decisions. You are a wide receiver. So I think that if we look at, like, asking for a specific gift, I'm not going to say that's wrong, but I'm saying we have to remember who's in charge when we ask.
So I wouldn't say,
yeah, just ask God for the gift you want. I'm saying, ask him, but he may guide you to what the gift that.
Yeah, so ask him for what gift do you have versus.
That's why I say it's better to ask, what did you already give me versus.
Well, okay, so let's say I'm in a situation and I really feel the need for some discernment in this situation. So I ask God for discernment. That seems like okay. But to be over here and say, God, you know, God, give me the gift of, you know, give me discernment. God, please give me discernment. God, okay, please give me the gift of tongues. Mm-hmm. Why is one, like, okay, and the other is like, oh, you probably shouldn't be asking God for a gift of tongues. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I get what you're saying, but I think
they're
the
gifts.
Yeah,
you know?
I think the difference is, though, one is to serve a purpose in a situation. So if we went back to the gift to healing for the woman on the train, that's for that moment.
Yeah.
Or, man, I'm really in a jam. I don't know how to respond to somebody, or I don't know what to do. I need you to help me discern right now.
Right.
That's different. But sometimes it's like, okay, so if I'm asking for tongues, I'm asking for tongues. Maybe I'm in the jungle. Lord, will you give me the gift of tongues to speak to these people in their language? That could be a situation.
Yeah.
But what I was thinking the question meant was, I want the gift of healing because that's what I want my gift to be.
Well, yeah, because if you...
Not for a situation.
Right. I'm in a situation and God gave me the ability to heal someone in that situation. Well, if I'm not careful, I'm going to think that I've got the gift of healing now, and I'm going to get puffed up thinking that I have the gift of healing.
Yeah. You're going to start out healing me.
So next time, you know, I go to Sister Pat because, you know, her arm's hurting her.
Right.
So I got the gift of healing. I mean, proved it right here, right? So let me go after Sister Pat.
But I think we need to be very careful in terms of our intentions and what we ask for.
Exactly.
So my point.
And also,
that's my point.
Really depend on the Holy
Spirit. That's my
Spirit.
Point.
And this
Spirit.
Is going back to verse 7, 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through, 10?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Where it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit of the word of by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing, so on and so on. So then, he gives them to us.
I know we stopped that he gives them to us, but not everybody has the same thing.
Right.
And not everybody knows what he's given.
Right, and I wasn't even seeing until just, you know, that he actually gives them to us.
And I look at this, you know, one of the gifts is hospitality. Even though I don't think I have the gift of hospitality, but I may be in a situation where I need to be hospitable because it's needed for me to be that at that time. You know, so, but, you know, but again, I think the overall purpose of that is for the edification of the church, not the person. It's the situation that the Lord uses us to do, to glorify him or edify somebody, particularly the church, and not for us.